Exion in Heaven. Exion in Heaven, Part 1. An Errant King. The thunder groaned, the wind howled, the rain fell in hissing torrents, impenetrable darkness covered the earth. A blue and forky flash darted a momentary light over the landscape. A Doric temple rose in the center of a small and verdant plain, surrounded on all sides by green and hanging woods. "Jove is my only friend," exclaimed a wanderer, as he muffled himself up in his mantle, "and were it not for the porch of his temple, this night, methinks, would complete the work of my loving wife and my dutiful subjects." The thunder died away, the wind sank into silence, the rain ceased, and the parting clouds exhibited the glittering crescent of the young moon. A sonorous and majestic voice sounded from the skies. "Who art thou that hast no other friend than Jove? One whom all mankind unite in calling a wretch. Art thou a philosopher? If philosophy be endurance. But for the rest, I was sometime a king, and am now a scatterling. How do they call thee?
Exion of Thessaly.
Exion of Thessaly. I thought he was a happy man. I heard that he was just married.
Father of gods and men.
For I deem thee such, Thessaly is not Olympus. Conjugal felicity is only the portion of the immortals.
Hem. What?
Was Diogelus, which is common, or false, which is commoner, or both, which is commonest?
It may be neither. We quarreled about nothing. Where there is little sympathy, or too much, the splitting of a straw is plot enough for a domestic tragedy. I was careless, her friends stigmatized me as callous, she cold, her friends styled her magnanimous. Public opinion was all on her side, merely because I did not choose that the world should interfere between me and my wife. Dia took the world's advice upon every point, and the world decided that she always acted rightly. However, life is life, either in a palace or a cave. I am glad you ordered it to leave off thundering.
A cool dog this.
And Dia left thee?
No, I left her.
What, craven?
Not exactly. The truth is, 'tis a long story. I was over head and ears in debt.
Ah. That accounts for everything. Nothing so harassing as a want of money.
But what lucky fellows you mortals are with your post-hobits. We immortals are deprived of this resource. I was obliged to get up a rebellion against my father, because he kept me so short, and could not die.
You could have married for money.
I did. I had no opportunity, there was so little female society in those days. When I came out, there were no heiresses except the Parsi, confirmed old maids, and no very rich dowager, except my grandmother, old Tara. Just the thing, the older the better. However, I married Dia, the daughter of Dionysus, with a prodigious portion, but after the ceremony the old gentleman would not fulfill his part of the contract without my giving up my stud. Can you conceive anything more unreasonable? I smothered my resentment at the time, for the truth is, my tradesmen all renewed my credit on the strength of the match, and so we went on very well for a year, but at last they began to smell a rat, and grew importunate. I entreated Dia to interfere, but she was a paragon of daughters, and always took the side of her father. If she had only been dutiful to her husband, she would have been a perfect woman. At last I invited Dionysus to the Larissa races, with the intention of conciliating him. The unprincipled old man bought the horse that I had backed, and by which I intended to have redeemed my fortunes, and withdrew it. My book was ruined. I dissembled my rage. I dug a pit in our garden, and filled it with burning coals. As my father-in-law and myself were taking a stroll after dinner, the worthy Dionysus fell in, merely by accident. Dia proclaimed me the murderer of her father, and, as a satisfaction to her wounded feelings, earnestly requested her subjects to decapitate her husband. She certainly was the best of daughters. There was no withstanding public opinion, an infuriated rabble, and a magnanimous wife at the same time. They surrounded my palace, I cut my way through the greasy-capped multitude, sword in hand, and gained a neighboring court, where I solicited my brother princes to purify me from the supposed murder. If I had only murdered a subject, they would have supported me against the people, but Dionysus being a crowned head, like themselves, they declared they would not countenance so immoral a being as his son-in-law. And so, at length, after much wandering, and shunned by all my species, I am here, Jove, in much higher society than I ever expected to mingle.
Well, thou art a frank dog, and in a sufficiently severe scrape. The gods must have pity on those for whom men have none. It is evident that earth is too hot for thee at present, so I think thou hadst better come and stay a few weeks with us in heaven. Take my thanks for hecatombs, great Jove. Thou art, indeed, a god. I hardly know whether our life will suit you. We dine at sunset, for Apollo is so much engaged that he cannot join us sooner, and no dinner goes off well without him. In the morning you are your own master, and must find amusement where you can. Diana will show you some tolerable sport. Do you shoot?
No arrow, sure. Fear not for me, Atildegiacus, I am always at home. But how am I to get to you?
I will send Mercury, he is the best traveling companion in the world.
What ho! My eagle!
The clouds joined, and darkness again fell over the earth.
So?
Tread softly. Don't be nervous.
Are you sick?
A little nausea, tis nothing.
The novelty of the motion. The best thing is a beefsteak. We will stop at Taurus and take one.
You have been a great traveler, Mercury?
I have seen the world.
Ah! A wondrous spectacle. I long to travel.
The same thing over and over again.
Little novelty and much change. I am wearied with exertion, and if I could get a pension would retire.
And yet travel brings wisdom.
It cures us of care. Seeing much we feel little, and learn how very petty are all those great affairs which cost us such anxiety.
I feel that already myself. Floating in this blue ether, what the devil is my wife to me, and her dirty earth? My persecuting enemies seem so many pismires, and as for my debts, which have occasioned me so many brooding moments, honor and infamy, credit and beggary, seem to me alike ridiculous.
Your mind is opening, Ixion. You will soon be a man of the world. To the left, and keep clear of that star.
Who lives there?
The fates know, not as some low people who are trying to shine into notice. 'Tis a parvenu planet, and only sprung into space within this century. We do not visit them.
Poor devils. I feel hungry.
All right. We shall get into heaven by the first dinner bolt. You cannot arrive at a strange house at a better moment. We shall just have time to dress. I would not spoil my appetite by luncheon. Jupiter keeps a capital cook.
I have heard of nectar and ambrosia.
Poh! Nobody touches them. They are regular old-fashioned celestial food, and merely put upon the side table. Nothing goes down in heaven now but infernal cookery. We took our chef from Proserpine.
Were you ever in hell?
Several times. 'Tis the fashion now among the Olympians to pass the